The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, in the hot seat, is Clark Campbell, Vice President Public Sector at a company called BDNA. Good afternoon, Clark. How are you?
I am well, sir. How about yourself?
Pretty good, pretty good. Well, you know, I've been reading federalnewsradio.com, and we have a writer here called world-famous Jason Miller. And as of late, he's written a few articles on CDM and the federal government. And I thought it'd be appropriate to drag you back into the studio and talk a little bit more about CDM and what your company is all about, another acronym, BDNA. And maybe you can have some insight for our listeners to show them how to save money, maybe how to make life easier, maybe decrease the tax surface they have out there and do all kinds of benefit things for my listeners. But first of all, some people are scratching their heads saying, well, Clark Campbell, what'd you wind up with this company? What's your background anyway?
So my background before my 12 years at now starting up the federal business at BDNA, I spent a decade at Oracle, of which I apologize for to everyone that's listening. But one of the things that I learned at Oracle is people always tried to understand how much Oracle they'd bought. And that was always a challenge. You buy it through Raytheon, CSC, Lockheed Martin, and so forth. And I then learned about BDNA, which a bunch of former Oracle colleagues had gone to a lot smarter than me. And not only could BDNA count all the Oracle, it could count all your Adobe, your Symantec, your Dell, your Microsoft, and even I figured I could sell that. So that's why I ended up where I did.
So you get big enterprise organizations like General Motors, you get DHS, you get, you know, huge ones, HHS. And so what your company answers the question is, who's on first? Well, what's in the back room, huh?
Correct. And actually, General Motors is actually one of our commercial clients. It's despite the size company we're at, and I don't know jack about commercial, every single time I hear a commercial organization on our forecast calls, I actually know who they are. Because everyone, just like the federal government, has complicated federated infrastructures that they need to have a better understanding to be able to drive cybersecurity and strategic sourcing.
So what's happening in the commercial world is large organizations, what they tend to do is they buy companies, they merge, they sell companies, they buy more companies, they merge, and all of a sudden you get all kinds of assets that no one knows who has what and where it is and how they all interact. And this has a direct application for my listeners, federal IT professionals, doesn't it?
Correct. And typically, we are getting more and more questions from federal organizations about commercial best practices. What are the Wells Fargo's, the Bank of America's, the Verizon's, the JP Morgan Chase's doing that potentially are a little bit more savvy and faster moving than the federal government that we can be applying to the federal business rules?
I was on Twitter real early this morning, and there was a woman who was tweeting out that she just sent in some sample to Ancestry.com to find out her heritage, and she's going to find out her DNA. Lo and behold, exactly what these big companies, the problem they had was they had this instance of Oracle and that instance of Oracle and this product and that product and who interacts with what and when's the end of life for this and that. And you can't do it with a clipboard anymore. You need a tool to do it. So that's the DNA that your company looks at, not, you know, whether you're Irish or not, but the origin of your software.
So whether it is in the civilian space, CDM, or in the DoD space or Intel space, NetOps tools, there is no lack of data that is out there. It is how you turn it into actionable information, understand the end of life, understand what's actually on the IT infrastructure, hardware, and software that can help drive the decision making for your, ideally, a proactive cybersecurity posture or help you drive your spending.
Now, end of life is always interesting when it comes to cars. We talked about cars before the show. I once had a Honda, and I pushed it and pushed it and pushed it 271,000 miles and finally gave up the ghost. So it was end of life for that one. With software, you can't really push it that long because it interacts with so many different things. So there are studies that are in the commercial world and the federal world about end of life. It's, we were talking about it earlier. It's remarkable, isn't it?
It is absolutely amazing at times, despite all the, I'll give some vendor names, whether it be the Taniums, the Big Fixes, the SCCMs, the BMCs, the CAs, the HPs of the world. They gather data, but they don't have the end-of-life information. And until you have that undiscoverable information, which BDNA uniquely does, which is why we have now 58 sole source awards in federal, to be able to provide you that visibility so you can do the appropriate remediations on your network and eliminate part of the attack surface.
I have in front of me a white paper from BDNA, and I'll read white from it because it's really hard to believe. It's in the last paragraph. Among federal agencies, BDNA typically finds that 35 to 55% of hardware and software assets are end of life. Wow, that's half your stuff? Really?
And then the challenge is prioritizing it. No one department or agency or organization has the appropriate budget to be able to address it in an annual basis. That's not the way the federal government has the appropriations. However, being able to prioritize that and decide which are the mission critical systems that have maybe PI information or, again, the mission critical data, that is something that's important for these organizations to understand.
Back in 2003, I sure was writing about a lot of firewalls for the Washington Post, and I was pretty knowledgeable at the time. And McAfee had a pretty good product back in 2003. And in this white paper, it shows that one federal agency had a McAfee firewall product that was end of life in 2003, 14 years ago. That's quite a story for my listeners, I think.
We actually have a unnamed customer of ours that the reason they bought our
very
solution,
unnamed,
unnamed, always unnamed, that when we did one of our free pilots, which we do these free pilots up to 1,000 hosts in a morning, we were able to show this organization they were running Netscape Navigator from 1999.
I remember installing Netscape Navigator in 1995. I was amazed the first time I saw a little globe spinning around. They really had it on some system. I can't believe it. My. Well, there is a way that the federal government's tried to remediate the situation on their own. It's something called CDM. Is that right? Does that fit in with this, or where does CDM fit in this discussion?
CDM is a wonderful solution that the government has provided. Civilians obviously adopted a lot more than DOD. It provides a very valuable service for configuration, patch management, configure and diagnostics mitigation. However, that data then needs to be mined and leveraged to drive what is end of life, what is Windows 10 compatibility, who is the current manufacturer, what is the open source information. And the only way you're able to do that is if you put it in a solution such as BDNA that allows us to be able to digest that. So that is what the federal government has been leveraging, and CDM has been a boom for BDNA.
So 3 years ago, they come up with a program, phase one, phase two, phase three. Phase one is what the heck you got. In other words, you have to do a checklist of what you have. And believe it or not, this has been a challenge for many agencies just trying to figure out the assets that they have. They underestimate, don't they?
Without a doubt, and whether it be the CVEs, the vulnerabilities that the Adobes of the world or other organizations have out there, there needs to be a better accountability and understanding of what it is to be able to remediate and provide upgrades.
So phase one, phase two, phase three, want to give us a pretty rough outline of what these three phases mean?
I'm not sure actually anyone understands what the CDM phases are. You ask 10 different people, you'll get 10 different answers. CDM has kind of run its course. It was supposed to solve world hunger. It has done a variety of things, but it still needs to be leveraged going forward, not only from a cybersecurity standpoint, but from a budgetary standpoint too.
Well, great. Let's take a break and come back. There are a couple organizations that had meetings in the last couple of months. One was called the Association of Government Accountants. One was called the ICIT. And they talked about exactly this, about CDM and where it is, where it's heading, and what happens when CDM itself reaches EOL or end of life. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the hot seat, we have Clark Campbell, Vice President, Public Sector at BDNA. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the hot seat, we have Clark Campbell, Vice President, Public Sector at BDNA. If you're sitting in your car, maybe hard to write all this down. I'll repeat it. You can go to a website called B as in Boy, DNA.com, get all kinds of information. Earlier in the show, I mentioned a white paper called Six Ways BDNA Improves Your Cybersecurity Posture. How can my listeners find this, Clark?
So you can go to BDNA.com and look at the white paper that we have there, or you can visit our webinar that is focused on federal on Thursday, April the 13th at 2 p.m., of where shockingly the title is Your Agency Blind to Cyber Risk?
Blind to cyber risk. I went to your Twitter site this morning, at BDNA Corp, and I read through your last 15 tweets, all kinds of information, data center strategy. 80% of cybersecurity intrusions could have been prevented with a patch. Is it that simple, really?
It is simply...
Easy answers, huh?
Cybersecurity, it's not really that complicated. It requires the visibility and prioritization. And until you take in the data from your NetOps tools, your CDM tools, normalize it, enrich it with end of life, enrich it with current vulnerabilities that are coming from NIST, of which they publish on a daily basis, of which we have updated on a daily basis, it is not a difficult problem to solve. It just requires visibility and action.
It's interesting. I was talking to a Russian who has a startup company called Virgil Security.
Did you just go Russian on me?
Nah, I'm going Russian on you.
Okay.
You didn't tell me not to talk about the Russians. And he tells me that 2/3 of all developers in the world are outside the United States. And he said that, this is so good. I teach in a school. Bachelor's degrees are worthless. Master's degrees are even more worthless. And book learning is worthless when it comes to cybersecurity. Because on. I mean, when you look at cybersecurity, there's easy checklists and there's all kinds of perspectives I'm getting on it. And I would think there's got to be some kind of a baseline. I guess that's what CDM does. At least it establishes a baseline to prevent people from trying to get in. Am I being too naive or too simple in trying to understand the CDM process?
So not to insult you, sir, since you invited me as a guest for a second time. Yes, that is too simple because CDM does configuration patch management. It does not provide the visibility of the end of life, all the vulnerabilities that are out there. And that is the reason BDNA has 58 sole source awards across the federal government where we're running on Zipper, Jipper, and JWix, so forth, across the entire DoD space.
So when I do my research on this, it talks about endpoint asset management. So what is an endpoint?
An endpoint can anything be from a physical server, a virtual server, a PC, a switcher router, anything with an IP address.
Cell phone?
Yes.
Refrigerator actually, these days, I guess.
Yes, anything
Sprinkler
with an IP
system?
Address. Yeah. Actually, one of our customers is now the United States Postal Service, where we are helping them with their mobile devices and helping them understand the vulnerabilities that they're having with that.
Here's a fun fact for you. Vince Cerf, father of the internet, has a wine collection. Each one of his bottles has an IP address, and he monitors the temperature of each bottle from his mobile device. So I guess he's part and parcel of this whole IoT world. So that is what an endpoint asset management is, finding out what assets you have, whether they're wine bottles, whether they're smartphones, or whether they're software assets, and finding out what their end of life is. Probably because these companies don't find it worthwhile to do any patch management because stuff is too old from 2003. Is that mostly why it reaches end of life?
So Vin Cerf has more money than me. But regarding the endpoint management, it is, again, the challenge of just trying to get actionable information and the prioritization. And whether you feed that into the RSA Arches of the world, the Splunks, your CMDBs of the BMC atriums of the world, your ServiceNows, it is trying to get that information in a spot where people can make actionable decisions.
Action, 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 what it's all about. And so what happens is there's a four-year program, and it's going to reach its end of life in August of 2018. Well, who's going to set up the alert for the end of life for CDM? I mean, what's going to happen next?
I'm not touching any topics in the federal government at this point.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens. So when we think about this, you think about, I think about the GSA and DHS And does NIST have anything to do with this? I know NIST has some requirements. How is this puzzle all played out for my listeners?
So NIST is obviously driving the overall qualifications and standardizations of that, but it still requires the individual organizations to be able to drive that and pay attention to it. DOD kind of operates on their own little bit of the world, and then I have no idea what the intel organizations do because they operate in the black.
That's good to know. Were you at one of these events I mentioned, the Association of Government Accountants or this ICIT thing? I think it was the last 2-3 months. Did you go to those events?
Yes, sir.
We had these. Which one, AGA?
Actually, the second one.
The second one, ICIT. They talked about moving to the cloud and whatnot. I mean, is this the next challenge? I mean, 4 years ago, did they incorporate moving to the cloud, or where's this whole cloud and hybrid cloud fit in with CDM?
So historically, government operates a little bit behind commercial industry. So why commercial has adopted cloud a great deal already. The government is even based on an article as recent as this week, I believe from this organization, pointed out that the government, you're welcome, Jason Miller, thank you, is moving towards the cloud, but they have not adopted it the same way. And part of that is if you want to migrate to the cloud, you need to do two things. You need to understand what you got and what you want to migrate, because you don't necessarily want to migrate everything. You want to do application rationalization. You want to do cybersecurity mitigation before you decide to go adopt, whether it be the IBM cloud, Microsoft Azure, or AWS.
There is something called Wikipedia. Everyone uses. I was on there a few years ago, and I looked up the founder of Wikipedia. It was a guy named Jimmy Wales. So I emailed him and said, next time you're in town, come in the radio. And he showed up. And so when I think about Wikipedia, a real positive idea. And when I think about Technopedia, I think about you guys. So tell us about Technopedia.
So Technopedia is the most comprehensive IT catalog, period. It is over 120 million hardware and software products. Yeah, and 40% of that's open source because there's a lot of open source out there. And it has of 1.7 million market data points that is updated by about 2,500 daily. And that is, again, part of the market data points is that undiscoverable data that a Tanium, a BMC, an HP, a BMC cannot gather. It is Windows compatibility. It is end of life. It is the vulnerability information.
So that is the secret sauce. So people can go, well, geez, I wonder if this tool is any good, and they can go to Technopedia and find out, and that's the essence of what you provide, that database there. It's a wonderful database.
And that is why we have, as of today, 58 sole source awards. It's still early in the day. I hope to be at 59 by the end of the day.
You know, I have no idea how you can keep track of so many new open source projects that are out there. I mean, I have students that get together for a Hoya hackathon, and they come up with new apps all the time, and there's just so much out there. It must be, I mean, how many hundreds of people are involved in just trying to figure out what's new out there? I mean, this is something I can't even imagine the complexity involved. I mean, you guys have been in business, what, for 10 years now?
About 15 years.
15 years.
And there are 75 people in the company that do this content data management.
Full time, just figuring out what's new.
That's what they do. And they're smarter than me.
Wow. And they must have automated tools, too, to figure out what's going out there. And then it's kind of like at what point in time do you hire a plumber? And what point in time do you do it yourself? Well, especially just when you said open source, that opened up. I thought it was mostly proprietary stuff. When it comes to open source, I have no idea how many variations of software are out there. Every day, there's new iterations every day, isn't there?
That is correct. And that is some of the stuff that the CDM and NetOps solutions gather. But unless you aggregate it, dedupe it, normalize it, and then enrich it with market data that's undiscoverable, you don't have that visibility to be able to make the appropriate cybersecurity decisions that you should be doing.
You know, I have a friend who's a master's in physics, and I know other mathematicians, and everyone pours a different meaning into the word normalization. So what do you mean when you use the word normalization?
So I appreciate you asking me that question, because normalization is a common used term. It is, what actually is it? What is that hardware or software product is? What is the version? What is the taxonomy from a category management standpoint that it is? And then once you know what that actual asset is, then you can align it to the end of life, the Windows compatibility, current manufacturer, and things along those lines. So yes, normalization is too commonly of a used term. And that's why we do the free pilots, to be able to demonstrate it.
What's new around here is to take a break and get back to this interview. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Clark Campbell, Vice President, Public Sector at BDNA. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the hot seat today, we have Clark Campbell, Vice President, Public Sector at BDNA. That's, of course, a company. And we're talking about something called CDM, which is Continuous Diagnostic Mitigation. And basically what happens is there are agencies out there that try to do an audit or survey of what they have. And some of them think they have a pretty good idea what they have. And they're kind of confident, maybe like me, overconfident. Then they wind up with a surprise. And we may have a story here to maybe elucidate upon that. Got any good stories for me here, Clark?
So as of this past week, we had a department where their CISO thought they had everything figured out based on their using of Big Fix to be able to cover off end-life vulnerabilities and so forth. This organization unfortunately shipped their entire SCCM database to a particular organization that is a customer of ours, one of their components bureaus sub-agencies. And we were able to not only highlight to their CIO and their C-suite that they were over a third end-of-life in software, over 20% end-of-life of hardware, and the Big Fix, which was supposed to solve their problem, one-third of the versions of Big Fix were end-of-life.
Whoa.
And they had no visibility. Yeah, that's a problem.
I mean, you go to work in your car and you pick out a tool and the tool doesn't work.
Yeah, and that's why I end up on conference calls and WebExes with people that are entertaining.
Wow. So now they have to do a reevaluation of the assets they have and then come up with a priority of what to keep and what to reduce. Is that right?
That's correct. And this is just the challenge, whether it be from a cybersecurity posture or just from an ITSM. One of the reasons that a large government agency brought us in is after 3 years trying to leverage their ServiceNow infrastructure, they realized they needed better data in it. And as they were migrating from BMC to ServiceNow, which is happening a great deal, sorry, BMC, that is something that we're able to assist with because based on our analysis, and this sounds ridiculous, but in about 10 to 20 hours, you can do what would take you 2,000 hours to be able to do it manually.
Because every day you got 75 people beating their head against the wall trying to come up with all the end-of-life solutions, and you tap in that database. It makes sense to me.
A lot of people smarter than me, thank God.
Last week, our president was in Detroit, and I read that, and I said, Detroit. Now, first thing I thought of was Bob Seger. He's a rock and roll musician for the youngsters out there from many, many years ago. He had a real famous song, and the lyrics of the song go something like this. He was on his motorcycle, and he was trying to figure out what to keep out and what to keep in. And that's what your tool does. It takes a look at what assets you have, and you figure out what to keep out and what to keep in, what to retain and what to get rid of.
Obviously, with the challenges of the federal budget on an ongoing basis, you need to be able to figure out from an application rationalization, category management, you need the visibility of what you want to keep and what needs to go. And those decisions need to be made. And unfortunately, there are application huggers, just as there were server huggers back in the day. And if you can provide that visibility, you can start making those budgetary decisions.
Well, you know, I have a Microsoft Surface Pro, and I have the whole Microsoft suite on there. And I've been using this little Surface Pro for a couple of years. It's great. And over the weekend, I tried to design something. I said, I remember this old product called Publisher, and I pulled it up, and I started, and I put together a document, which was great. But I had no idea Publisher was just sitting there ready for me to tap into. And I mean, what if I had been paying for software license for this all these years and didn't even know I had it, although it's a fine product, a fine tool? I think there are a lot of people in the software world that, you know, at one time they decided it was a great product and they put it in the shelf and they forget all about it somewhere in the shelf somewhere. This can be very expensive.
That is correct. And that is, again, goes back to those things are just magically installed on computers.
Right. And you have a license
for it.
And you
are paying for them.
Right.
You are getting the Microsoft Enterprise license. Is it right or is it wrong? You just want the visibility to it to be able to make a intelligent decision.
Yeah. It's not a matter of it's right or wrong. I love Publisher. But the question is, I mean, does this fit in with your budgeting plans coming up? And I think everyone listening to this is going to have some challenges in the next couple of years as far as budgeting goes. I mean, it's just going to happen. And so you can't know what to cut back until you know what you have. I mean, this sounds like first grade stuff, doesn't it? But you have to know what you have to know what to cut back on.
Correct. And we recently had a customer of ours who had Lotus Notes version 1.0 installed on their network, of which, one, are you paying a license for it? Two, it is a vulnerability nightmare
that
needs to be solved. And there is no lack of, whether it be CDM or other cybersecurity tools that are going out there trying to find this information. But for whatever reason, how is Lotus Notes 1.0 still installed?
Yeah. Dr. Pablo Molina sat in that chair about a year or two ago. He teaches ethics in the graduate school at Georgetown University. One ethical challenge that people have is patches have to come out and vulnerabilities out there. And just the fact that you let someone know that Lotus is vulnerable, that's almost an opportunity for bad people to attack. And so you almost have to have some kind of a remediation situation for patching and end of life, because you know every time a new patch comes out, all bad people have to do is scan your system and find out where the attack vulnerability is and go right after you. So you're paying for a license is one thing, but getting into your system, that's really the expensive part.
That's correct, and it's glad to know that everyone sat in this chair is smarter than me.
Well, Pablo's awful smart. He speaks four languages just to start. He's a great guy.
I barely speak English.
Tell me about ServiceNow. Is that one of the companies that use your service? You compete with them? Or what's ServiceNow all about?
So ServiceNow is a colleague of ours, a technical compadre. We actually use ServiceNow within BDNA for everything that BDNA does.
Oh.
And it is something that with ServiceNow is they we're actually at their Knowledge 17 conference in Orlando, going to have about a third of the company at. So we are a big friend of theirs. We help fill their model tables. We help normalize information that goes into ServiceNow, and we make ServiceNow simply better, but they represent one of the many of downstream applications. We have similar partnerships with enterprise architecture teams, also with companies such as the RSAs and Splunks of the world.
Hmm. And so RSA, Splunk, and someone like ServiceNow can license or tap into the service you provide with Technopedia. Is that correct?
Or That's correct. They all work better with better data, which leverages and improves their ROI. So those are some of the use cases that we see on a routine basis and across the federal government, given the adoption of those companies we see frequently.
You know, I spent about 10% of my time in the federal world, Federal News Radio. Most of my time is out doing many, many different things. I was doing some videos at a satellite conference last week. I was interviewing CEOs of satellite companies. And what's interesting, they talk about SLA, service life agreements, mm-hmm. for maintenance of satellite data. And I thought that's very interesting. I said, hey, SLA, that's just in my world, isn't it? It's definitely in your world for service life agreements. I mean, this plays in exactly with what your service offering, doesn't it?
So we do SLAs for what we call gap fill for the information that is why we like to think we get 100% of all IT data. It is impossible to reach that level. So we do SLAs with our customers to be able to improve on the 1 or 2% that is required. But yes, that is just the nature of the software business.
Well, great. Let's take a break. I think we come back, we'll finish up with take a look at the future of what's going to go on with the whole idea of monitoring. I mean, I remember monitoring years ago when it came in with a software development, continuous improvement. Now it's been applied to the world of security. And when I look at this whole idea of CDM, I look at Alan Paler's group up there, the SANS Institute, and some of the ideas they had. And I see a lot of their ideas kind of imprinted on this whole concept of CDM, and find out what role SANS has and NIST and how this thing is all going to play out in the next few years. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Clark Campbell, Vice President, Public Sector at BDNA. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the hot seat today, we have Clark Campbell, Vice President, Public Sector at a company called BDNA. I have a white paper in front of me that my listeners may be interested in. It talks about six ways BDNA improves your cybersecurity posture. So where the heck can they find that, Clark?
So BDNA.com, go ahead and please visit our website and be able to learn how you can do more of a proactive cybersecurity posture based on your CDM or NetOps tools that you've already deployed.
And that's the phrase that pays, proactive. It's like, okay, now we've got to move into the proactive phase here, boys and girls, don't we?
Too often, cybersecurity is reactive. It's we've had a breach, we have a problem, we've been hacked, as opposed to if you actually know the end of life and the vulnerabilities that you have on your hardware and software assets, and maybe also your other Internet of Things devices, it allows you to understand that and prioritize accordingly.
So when I do research on your company, there's a phrase that pops up a lot. It's single source of truth. And that sounds like a philosophy thing. But what do you mean by a single source of truth? I mean, explain that to me, please.
So the challenge is that, for example, SCCM, a big fix, Titanium, they'll bring back Microsoft SQL Server named 24 different ways. We have 16,000 naming conventions just for SQL Server alone. So you have to figure out what you actually
have. It's a Prius. It's a Lexus. What is it?
Exactly. So you need to figure out what you have. And then once you figure out what you have, you then can align it to that end of life, the compatibility, the vulnerability information. Otherwise, you have no single source of truth and you're unable to make intelligent cyber and budgetary decisions.
That's interesting. You know, I'm involved in the world of marketing, and I teach a course in digital strategy, marketing strategy, and tactics. One tactic in my world is called blogging, and I have some facility with the written word, done some blogging in my day. Right now, what's really important in my world of marketing and blogging is hardening WordPress. WordPress is a real popular blogging platform, and people are realizing it's vulnerable, and they're talking about ways to harden it. Is that really what we're talking about here with CDM? Is that hardening, or is this reporting? What exactly does CDM fit in?
So hardening is a standard term that DoD uses when they talk about STIGs, of trying to harden a application or a hardware asset to be able to lock it down based on their current version of what is the most cybersecurity best posture. And that is something that we also help organizations do. We're doing this at folks like DISA, Army, DLA, Missile Defense Agency, SOCOM, and again, CIPR, NIPR, and JWICS. So hardening is something that DoD uses as a frequent phrase.
So it's much more than just a scanning tool then, is that right?
So we leverage the existing scanning tools. We don't do any scanning. We leverage what you already got.
Again, so ServiceNow may be a scanning tool, is that right?
ServiceNow Discovery is one of the common scanning tools that we leverage, that we see frequently. Again, we have databases that can take in from over 50 different tools. It doesn't matter. We don't care. We are technology agnostic.
Tableau Software had an event 2 weeks ago with 1,200 people talking about data visualization. And we had about six different agencies there. I was a master of ceremonies. And what's happening is that many agencies are encountering this wealth of data, especially from IoT, Internet of Things. And they're just trying to figure out, get a handle on where it is and what that. And I think in the world of healthcare and IoT, there's all kinds of opportunities here. And this fits in right in with your play of CDM, doesn't it?
Without a doubt. We've obviously at BDNA focused on commodity IT at this point. However, we have branched in now into medical devices. We are then going into the IoT. There are no lack of internet-enabled devices that are out there. And if there are solutions that is gathering that data, we are happy to normalize it and enrich it and provide you that end-of-life and other information for you to have a proactive cybersecurity posture.
Because if you're in the hospital and there's a device you're using, there could be newer technology or that could be outdated. And this isn't a convenience thing. It could be life or death decisions involved with healthcare IT.
And we are doing those conversations with the Defense Health Agency, Veterans Affairs, HHS. Those are ongoing dialogues that we are having because they simply need better visibility on those type of things.
When you have your conversations with these agencies, do they try to project out 5, 8 years, 4 or 5 years, what's going to happen to this whole world? What's the future of your world?
So typically the federal government works in about a 12-month cycle. Based on my experience of a quarter century of doing this, So it is typically dealing with the individual budget that they have. It is not necessarily as forward-thinking as all of us taxpayers would like.
So are people going to catch up? Are they going to make some initiatives to figure out an audit, or are they going to be hamstrung? I mean, what's going to happen here in the next 2-3 years?
So that's based on the appropriations bills that the Congress approves and the president signs off on. So over the next few years, those things and trends that you just mentioned will obviously evolve, but there is not always the forward-leaning conversations that one would appreciate.
That's interesting. We have high-speed internet service at my house. We have a little Wi-Fi, and we walk around the house and all kinds of stuff. And my wife wants to yank it and get all her data from her phone. This is the latest thing. Get all your data from a phone. So I see these big changes in mobile technology. I've had people from the federal government sit in that chair and talk about moving to the cloud and hybrid cloud. I mean, I would just think that if you have an application in your database, Technopedia, and it may have information about working behind a firewall, what happens when it's hybrid? What happens when there's mobile components involved? What happens when they're integrated with other systems? I mean, you get the mathematician that we talked about earlier would come up with all kinds of variations that makes it pretty confusing.
Without a doubt, which is why that information is being captured by something. There is some scanning tool, security tool, configuration patch management tool that is being gathered by. It needs to be aggregated, deduped, normalized, and enriched with information that is uncapturable by that scanning tool to be able to drive that type of decision making to say, what actually makes sense? Am I paying for something I don't need? Am I paying for something that has vulnerabilities? Am I paying for something that I need to upgrade now?
When I discuss data visualization with people, they talk about dashboards. And I remember years ago, SharePoint had a dashboard. It was a third grade type dashboard. It was weak. But there are dashboards out there. Does your product, or are you seeing services that provide dashboards for decision makers at agencies to find out, you know, level of competency and weakness? Or what kind of visual approach does your product have?
So as a software company, we're required by law to have dashboards. So, of course, we do. Everyone has dashboards. Dashboards is a nice visualization at the C level, but then you need to be able to drill in. So we have the ability to do drag and drop reporting, whether it be in our tool or you're feeding it into the ServiceNow, the BMCs, the RSAs, or the Splunks. We don't care. We provide the data. We don't care how you look at it.
Salesforce.now has got a big event coming up. Amazon Web Services has an event coming up in town here. Microsoft has their World Congress next year. Do you interact with all these companies, or the companies you don't interact in, or your database has got to include everyone, I would assume?
Yeah, we're familiar with the standard.
Usual suspects?
Yes, the usual suspects. Thank you for picking the words out of my head.
And do you get cooperation from these people, or do you have to sign non-disclosure agreements? How can you keep up with current versions and new iterations of their software?
So BDNA is Switzerland. We are technology agnostic. We don't care what you give us and where you put it. When I meet with the Intel community, I refer to myself as an arms dealer, which only works actually with the Intel community, because I don't care what you give us and where it goes, BDNA works out well. So we don't care.
So platform agnostic, I've heard that used in many, many areas, but there's normally some biases or some kind of limits there. There's got to be limits to software you can't control. I mean, there's got to be software used outside the United States that you can't get an angle on. There's got to be stuff out there. I mean, are there weaknesses and gaps in your offering?
You want me to say online there's weaknesses? I'm confused by that.
I keep thinking of that Russian guy who says 2/3 of all developers are outside the United States.
I'm not going Russian in
this. We're not going to go in this discussion.
So the issue is literally, what is the agency or department gathering? If they're not gathering information on a particular hardware or software asset, I don't have anything to be able to normalize and enrich. But short of that, no. Now, does any organization have 100% coverage? No. If they think they do, they're the first.
I have more questions about model tables, but we're going to have to end the discussion here. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on federalnewsradio.com. My guest is Clark Campbell, Vice President, Public Sector at BDNA.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.